Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 3, The Birth of Lord Krishna, Text Number 19. Tatosya janma siddhi suman samyamanam vibho. Vedantya nihad agunad avikriyat. Padishvare Brahmani no virujate. Tvar ashrayadvad upachariyate gunai. Are from your lordship. Asya. Of the entire cosmic manifestation. Janma, the creation. Sthiti, maintenance. Samyamam, and annihilation. Vibho, O my Lord. Vedanti, the learned Vedic scholars conclude. Anihat, who are free from endeavor. Agunat, who are unaffected by the modes of material nature. Avikriyat, who are undergoing unchanging in your spiritual position, situation. Twayi, in you. Ishvare, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Brahmani, who are Param Brahman, the Supreme Brahman. No, not. Virujite, there is a contradiction. Tvat ashrayavat, because of being controlled by you. Upacharyate, things are going on automatically. Gunai, by the operation of the material modes. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O my Lord, learned Vedic scholars conclude that the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of the entire cosmic manifestation are performed by you, who are free from endeavor, unaffected by the modes of material nature, and changeless in your spiritual situation. There are no contradictions in you, who are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Param Brahman. Because of the three modes of material nature, Sattva, Rajas, and Tamas, are under your control, everything takes place automatically. Purport is stated in the Vedas, Yatasya karyam karanam chavidite, yatasamas chad vyadikas chidvishyate, parasya shaktir vividaivashuyate, svabhavaki jnana bala kriya cha. Supreme Lord has nothing to do, and no one is found to be equal to or greater than him. Everything is done naturally and systematically by his multifarious energies. Shweta Sutara Upanishad 6:8. Creation, maintenance, and annihilation are all conducted personally by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and this is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Maya Dakshena Prakriti Siyate Sacharacharam. Yet ultimately the Lord does not need to do anything, and therefore he is nirvikara, changeless. Because everything is done under his direction, he is called Shristi Karta, the master of creation. Similarly, he is the master of annihilation. When a master sits in one place while his servants work in different duties, whatever the servants are doing is ultimately an activity of the master, although he is doing nothing. Yatasya karyam karanam cha vidyate. The Lord's potencies are so numerous that everything is done, nicely done. Therefore, he is naturally still and does not directly and is not directly the doer of anything in this material world. Translation again, my Lord, learned Vedic scholars conclude that the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of the entire cosmic manifestation are performed by you, who are free from endeavor, unaffected by the modes of material nature, and changeless in your spiritual situation. There are no contradictions in you, who are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Param Brahman, because the three modes of material nature, Sattva, Rajas, and Tamas, are under your control. Everything takes place automatically. Here, Vasudeva is praying to Krishna, because Krishna is the manifestation of Achintya Shakti, which, as we found out, that when Vasudeva saw Krishna with four hands, holding conch, wheel, and lotus flower in his hands, the first thing he experienced was abhuta, wonder. But then after that he experienced affection, sneha. So these things are not impossible to be one after another. It's very hard to have them both together. But for Krishna, with his energies, he can do everything simultaneously. And it's up to us to understand how Krishna can be a cowherd boy playing his flute in Vrindavan and dancing with the gopis, playing with the cowherd boys and milking cows, and at the same time being completely in control of this material universe. After all, when Arjuna saw the material universe, he asked Krishna, Agyaki me ko bhavan ugra rupo, mostit he deva vra prasida, vigyatamit shami vantamadyam, ihi prajanami tava praviti. Agyaki me ko bhavan ugra rupo. My dear Krishna, can you kindly explain to me, what is this form that you're manifesting, the universal form? Agyaki me ko bhavan ugra rupo, namostit he deva vra prasida. First of all, I offer you my obeisances. I don't want to be disrespectful and ask why you have thousands of heads and etc. So therefore, I'm asking humbly, Namosti te deva vra prasida, vigyatamis chamita va pravitim, akyakime ka bhava ugarubha, this horrible feature of yours. In other words, we're living in Krishna, but we're living in Krishna's horrible feature. Sometimes people think that if God is so good, he's all love, he's all good, then why here everything is so bad? So Arjuna is asking the same thing. Ugra Rupo, this horrible feature of yours. Vigyatim Ichami Bhavantamadyam. I want to know what your mission is. Vigyatim Ichami Bhavantamadyam. Ihi prajanami tava pravritim. What is your purpose? Whatever we do, we have a purpose. Generally, the purpose is we want to be happy. Hardly anyone does anything to become unhappy. Even people put pearls through their tongue. You've seen that? Anyone have a pearl through their tongue? We don't want to insult anyone. At least in America, I don't know, I guess here also, in England I saw that, the rockers, the punk rockers. Is that who they are, the punk rockers? They put pearls through their tongue. They don't do it to torture themselves, although that's what it is. They do it because they want to be pretty. They want to have a pretty tongue. They want to enjoy. Ultimately, it's for enjoyment. Everyone does everything for enjoyment. Even we have an arrow through our back, we take it out so we can feel better. Because it's very uncomfortable having an arrow in your back. Therefore, we take it out in order to feel better. So everyone does everything to feel good. So Krishna has created the material world to feel good. Although everyone here feels bad, he feels good. But why does he feel good? So this is being explained. Because the material world is just like, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, yattaragre vishamiva parinami ritopamam tatsukam satyakam proktam atmabuddhi prasadajam. That which in the beginning is bitter like poison, but at the end is like nectar, which awakens one to self-realization, is said to be happiness in the mode of goodness. In other words, the material world is our bitter medicine. So we can overcome our disease of material desires, material enjoyment. If the material world was full of happiness, material happiness, and there was only material happiness, then of course, no one would ever want to leave here. And if the material world was only suffering, no one would ever want to stay here. So it's a combination of, if we follow Krishna's direction, then we become happier. Prabhupada even said one time that if we take a shower, we get some intelligence, spiritual intelligence. Not that we should stay in the shower all day long. I can't figure this problem out. I think I'll take a shower for a couple of hours. No, we get some spiritual intelligence because the mode of goodness is illuminating up to a point. I mean, the mode of goodness is always illuminating, but taking a shower, you only get illuminated up to a point. So as we follow Krishna's directions, for instance, Krishna says, Nivrittim cha. What's the first word? What's the first? Pravittim cha, nivrittim cha, jana na vidur asura. Nisocham na pichacharo na satyam teshu vidite. That those who are demons, asuras, those who are against godly qualities, they don't know what's to be done, and they don't know what's not to be done. Neither cleanliness, nor truthfulness, nor proper behavior is found in them. So that's called the mode of goodness. In other words, in the demons we can find plenty of ignorance and passion, but we don't find goodness. And the two qualities of goodness which are prominent are cleanliness and truthfulness of the different brahminical qualities. The Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita the two most important ones are cleanliness and truthfulness. Two of the important legs of the Dharma, religiosity. Because if we're not truthful and we're not clean, then there's no question of even trying to approach the mode of goodness. Just like nowadays we know that people are not truthful in the ultimate sense, that you can, the people who are truthful are those who accept Krishna consciousness, because that's the ultimate truth. Those who don't want to understand that they're eternal souls, servants of Krishna. Eternal soul is easy enough to appreciate. Many of the impersonalists who hate Krishna, the Mayavadis, they understand that they're eternal, but they want to be eternally God. So that's only a little bit of the truth, that we're eternal. But the real truth is that we're eternally servants, and that's the hard part of the truth. We can hear it, we can preach it, but to accept it and follow it, that's the real trick. But, therefore it says, heard and accepted, glorified, heard and accepted by thoroughly men, by pious men who are thoroughly honest. Yad vichas, actually I always get this wrong. Yad vichas chitrapadam hayari show, that's the one before it. Yas cha vayasam dithir manasa nimant yuksha nitikshaya. In any case, the translation is that these words in the Bhagavatam, although they're imperfectly composed, are heard, glorified, and accepted by men who are thoroughly honest. In other words, we can continue to perform devotion. try to perform devotional service, unless we're trying to become honest, at least. Trying to realize that we're Krishna's eternal servants. And that when we realize it, then we realize we're infinitesimally small. No one wants to feel like that. Matter of fact, if you tell people you're infinitesimally small, they'll think that you're trying to destroy their prestige. What do they call that when people's their low self-esteem? This Hare Krishna movement is meant to put people in a condition of low self-esteem. Not every class we remind people that we're 1/10,000th the size of Jeff Aaron's size, because we don't want people to walk out depressed. I'm bad, I'm really bad, and I'm insignificantly bad. Please hit me, I'm so bad. Make me feel good. No, we're infinitesimally small, and Krishna's infinitely great. So what hurts is our false ego when we hear that. The soul couldn't care less, because the soul is transcendental. It doesn't know what's going on. But when the false ego gets hurt by hearing how great Krishna is, then we feel hurt. We didn't lose anything, because Krishna is great. It's not, oh, Krishna is great, now I'm even less. I was 1/10,000th the size of tip of hair in size, and now that I know that Krishna is unlimitedly great, now I'm 1/20,000th the size of tip of hair in size. We didn't lose anything, nor did Krishna gain anything by our realizing how great he is. But that acceptance is a little difficult. So that's called truthfulness. Coming to that platform of accepting how great and wonderful Krishna is, that doesn't make us less great and less wonderful. The little tiny soul, being a particle of Krishna, is also great when he's serving Krishna. When Krishna becomes happy by the service of the soul, then that means that the soul is doing something great, making the Supreme great. And that makes everyone great. When Krishna's happy, everyone becomes happy. When Krishna took that little bit of vegetable from Draupadi's plate, the whole universe became satisfied. Of course, Draupadi offered it with great devotion. We were just trying to offer it with a little bit of devotion. Then this little soul becomes, and its natural qualities become manifested. And everyone has their unique transcendental qualities that make everyone wonderful, uniquely wonderful. Everyone has a certain qualities that no one else has. So everyone is valuable when engaged in Krishna's service, just like the little spark glows when it's in the fire, but outside the fire, it's not very happy. So the point is that we have to understand how Krishna is manifesting the material universe, trying to push us towards truthfulness. When we're truthful, then we get a little bit less, when we're untruthful, when we work as if we're this body or the mind, we get the shock treatment. Material nature shocks us. And then when we inquire, why am I suffering? And we decide to act as Krishna's servant, the material nature frees us from this, to some extent, from the suffering. And we call that happiness. And Krishna even sometimes gives us a little bit of transcendental pleasure to encourage us. And cleanliness, if we were clean, not just washing our hands, which we should also do. Probably thought that was very important. We should wash our hands before we eat prasadam and afterwards too. Although the sink is far away. I wouldn't recommend you always wash your hands with soap all the time, because then you probably won't have any skin left after some time. But at least we should wash our hands. And sometimes with soap. But cleanliness is that, ultimately cleanliness is internal cleanliness, which results in the soul becoming uncovered. And the natural manifestation, when, just like when iron is rusty, then it doesn't attract the, well, we should say when the iron may be fully power, but if the particles of iron are rusty, they're not attracted to the magnet. But once the iron is deoxidized, purified, then automatically becomes attracted to the magnet. So Krishna said is all attractive, devotional service is all attractive, and ultimately the goal of devotional service gives us unlimited pleasure, and it actually, our love for Krishna becomes so profound that it even attracts Krishna, what to speak of everyone else. When Srimati Radharani and Krishna and the groves of Vrindavan and the little, and the souls of theirs, the Manjaris and others are serving them, then everyone's taking delight, including Radha and Krishna in the service of the gopis and the Manjaris and others. Everyone is delighting in each other's service, including Radha and Krishna, the unlimited supreme personalities. So when we're uncovered, we also become as good as Krishna, as loving and as expert in pure loving service to Radha and Krishna. So the idea is become clean, give up the stolen goods of the material world and our attachment to them, become clean, and utilize them in Krishna's service. We don't have to stop doing anything. We just have to appreciate that it's all Krishna's, meant for his service. And then the result is that we'll uncover, or Krishna will uncover us, and we'll actually begin to like ourselves too, because we're also nice by nature. If when people do things wrong, they have to justify it. They say, no, this is not so nice what I'm doing, but I'm going to do it anyhow, because it'll make me happy. But, and then we feel guilty afterwards. And then we try to get through the guilt by taking intoxication because we don't want to feel unhappy. Everything we do is to make ourselves happy, but when we become Krishna conscious, then we become really happy. And then everything we do is nice. It's good for ourselves and good for everyone else. And we won't have to criticize Krishna for this creation because we'll see Viri Mahendri Dis Tat Kitayate. That's the same. Vishvam Purna Sukhayate. That actually the whole universe is full of happiness. That everything Krishna is doing here through his energies is perfectly good. That when we're acting according to Krishna's directions, everything goes right, and when we don't, it goes bad. So it's not like Ravana. Ravana wanted to build a stairway to heaven, that everything, every time you did something bad, you got a little closer to heaven. And every time you did something bad, you went a little away from heaven. So we're not Ravanas. Krishna, it didn't work out for Ravana either. It doesn't work. If we follow Krishna, we get closer to the spiritual world. And when we don't, we get a little bit further away. That's all. That's how things work. And that's perfectly creation, because the only happiness for the soul is when the soul is with Krishna. Otherwise, there can't be any happiness for the soul. So although it appears that Krishna is doing mean things, but he does it for a good purpose. Or as Prabhupada writes in the first canto, the loving father, sometimes he gives his son to a chastising agent, a disciplinary agent, to help the son, not to torture him like Hiranyakashipu tried to do to Prahlad, but to help the son rectify himself so he can become a good son again. So that's our material world. Welcome to the material world. So when we're being harassed by the material external energy, we should appreciate it. You're very kind, putting me back on the right path again. Therefore, another word for Maya is mercy. But for the devotee, Prabhupada says that although sometimes we're suffering, but actually our suffering is minimized by Krishna. As long as we're trying to become a devotee, our suffering is minimized. Actually, by our misdeeds, we deserve the electric chair, but we're just getting a pinprick by Krishna's mercy. But we have to take the lesson, or else we might get the electric chair eventually. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
As you were mentioning, people are suffering extremely and then they decide to take up the process of Krishna consciousness. But we can see outside that they are so resilient. They are faithfully following their process of sense gratification, even though they are suffering immensely. So
yes.
How come they don't sort of, whatever comes to them, they're still not changing the plan?
Well, there may be different. One is possibly they're proud. They never want to admit they're wrong. The other thing is that they're stubborn. But don't worry, many of them will go to hell, and they'll, in hell, the torturers in hell, they're very expert. They get everyone to say uncle eventually. In America, if you have your hand behind your back, they're trying to break it, you say uncle, and then they let you go. So the Yamaduta is very expert at getting people to become humble again. But then you enter into the lower species of life sometimes, and there you learn further that it's not good to go against Krishna's, you know, to wind up a rat in some hole. It's not exactly what most people are expecting. Although a rat in the hole is also joy and joy. When he eats cheese, he gets as much enjoyment as when we eat prasadam. We're not carefully eating prasadam. He has a love affair with the other rats there too. He doesn't think I'm a rat. She looks disgusting. She thinks he's enamored by her whiskers. He's in love. So one gets into the lower species of life and has to enjoy a supper there too. Until we come back to the human form of life, which is an opportunity to find out why we're enjoying and suffering. If one doesn't take it up, then again, back to the lower species of life. And enjoy a supper for some time. Yes?
Yeah, but we don't remember past births. And even in the current birth, we don't see the suffering as the real suffering.
Well, that's Krishna's mercy. We do know in the human form of life, when we finally get here, we do have some memory. It's called conscience. It's not good to... When we look at a dog, we don't think, what's the difference if I become a dog? Of course, some people think like that. But if you had your magic wand, you could turn them into a dog immediately, they probably hesitate to change their mind. So there is an understanding it's not good to enter into the lower species. But they don't have the knowledge because they're animal-like. They never got the proper education. And besides that, those who are killing animals, that's why their intelligence is taken away. So practically they're being forced to enter into the lower species of life so they can get their karma back. Only by the mercy of a devotee, and if they have a little willingness, they're a little pious soul, then they can appreciate that I better put the brakes on and go in a different direction. But if they're too proud and they want to go on killing animals and engaging in sinful activity and they're defying God, if they're not really innocent, they're actually asuram bhavam ashritas, then it's very difficult for them to change their mind. Only a great devotee like Prabhupada could actually change them. Anything else? Okay.
I would like to ask you, said that if in this world there were only happiness, nobody would want to live. And yet quite a lot of souls left the spiritual world where there is only happiness.
Yes.
So why wouldn't they want to live here if it were only a world of happiness, since they've already left the spiritual world where there was happiness?
Well, where there was a lot of misleading propaganda to come to the material world. The whole thing was like an advertisement, fly to Hawaii, you'll enjoy. Yeah, there's some enjoyment in Hawaii, sure, but, you know, you go in the ocean, there's nice waves and things, but the sharks are also there to eat you. they don't show pictures of the sharks in the advertisement, come to the material world, to Hawaii. I know what kind of person?
With low esteem.
Low esteem, humble and low esteem. Real humility is to realize how wonderful and great Krishna and his devotees are. And therefore we feel when we're in love with someone, or love with someone like Krishna or his devotees, then the result is that we feel humble, because love and humility go together. But when we look at everyone else and we think how fallen I am, and we don't appreciate how wonderful they are, and we just think they're better than I am, and we become envious and depressed, that why am I not great, like as great as they are? No appreciation for them, no love for them, and no love for ourselves, that's called low self-esteem. It's the absence of love. Anything else? Hala Grantaraj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.